New numbers out today tell us more about how many Americans are experiencing loneliness. The 2020 Loneliness Index from the health organization Cigna says 3 in 5 Americans consider themselves lonely. They're also reporting an increase in loneliness of about 13% from year to year. This only goes back to 2018, the first year Cigna conducted this survey. Their latest data are based on answers from a group of more than 10,000 adult workers surveyed in July and August of last year. Kristen Radke has been following the issue of loneliness and collecting stories from people who have felt loneliness now or at some point in their lives. The Wisconsin native has authored the book Imagine Wanting Only This, a graphic memoir about loss, and a forthcoming work, Seek You, Essays on American Loneliness. Kristen, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Well, last time you were on, we talked about your project that you're working on for this book, I think due out next year. Can you tell us what you are looking for from people when they talk about loneliness?
Yeah, I mean, so when I started this project, I didn't really realize that loneliness was an interest of mine. I didn't really connect the dots on that, but I recognized that I really loved observing people sort of alone in public places. And I started thinking a lot about solitude and loneliness and what the difference is between those two things. And once I started that project, I was amazed that it seemed like everybody had a story or many stories about feeling really lonely.
Yeah, we have this new study out today. By coincidence, we were going to talk to you anyway, but it seems to make the case that loneliness is pretty common among Americans, maybe on the rise. And as you say, as you talk to people, you're seeing that anecdotally too.
Absolutely. I mean, and that study shows that loneliness has risen, I think, 18%. I could be wrong. 18% since 2018, which is, you know, that's a wild increase in such a short amount of time.
And when you talk to people, what do they say is driving their loneliness? What are some of the things that make them think they don't have this connection, this contact with people?
Well, what's so interesting is that everyone's story is so different, but there's always like this sort of underlying germ of the same feeling. Like in a certain way, I think loneliness is one of the most universal things that we all experience. Everyone has a different threshold for loneliness. Something that makes someone feel lonely is totally different than what someone else feels lonely. And that's actually biologically programmed into us. Every single person at birth wants a certain amount of human connection and needs a certain amount of human connection. And there's really nothing you can do to change that.
Interesting. So what might feel lonely to me might feel fine to you or vice versa.
Exactly. Exactly. So you might be able to say, I'm going to hole up in my house and work on this and, you know, paint my whole house alone for a week and like read novels and whatever and not talk to anyone. And you might feel great and feel totally satisfied with that time. And I might totally lose my mind.
But then there's that difference. And you said it right off the bat, loneliness versus solitude. And that seems mm-hmm. like a decision. Solitude, if I pick a day where I don't want to talk to people, that's my choice. Loneliness is something that happens to me. And that seems like an important difference, right?
Absolutely. So basically, scientists and researchers define loneliness as the gap between the relationships and the connections you have and the relationships and the connections you want. So even if you have a really full house, you have, maybe you have great relationships with your parents and with your brothers and sisters. You have a really active social life. You still might feel desire for something else that you're not getting from those relationships.
Talking to Kristen Radke about loneliness. She's got a book coming out next year, Seek You, Essays on American Loneliness. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a story about an experience going into or out of loneliness at some stage of your life or other. Kristen, when you talk to people, are there people feeling like they're always lonely, they always have been, or is it something that maybe at different stages of their lives they come into and maybe then out of?
Yeah. So loneliness is really common at three specific stages in our lives. One is in our 20s when we're often going through a lot of life changes. We may be leaving home for the first time, things like that. In our 50s, which is late 50s, which is a pretty common retirement age where, you know, kids are leaving the house, things like that. And then in our 80s, and there obviously we're facing probably the death of a lot of people close to us or a lack in mobility. So when I was talking to people, I talked to a lot of women who felt really, really lonely during their pregnancies and right after they gave birth. They felt very isolated by that and unable to share those experiences. One of my favorite anecdotes is this mother who she hadn't heard from her children who were older, who were grown up on Mother's Day, and she got the doorbell rang, and it was flowers, and she was so excited because she thought it was flowers from her kids, but then they were for like the woman next door who was always terrible to her. So she's never forgotten that anecdote 20 years later. Like, that was the first thing she thought of to share with me.
Huh. Now, are there social things that are built in that like walls we've erected in our society that make us more prone to be lonely?
Well, certainly there's a lot of arguments being made about technology. I go back and forth on this. I think technology has given some people access to whole new communities. You know, whole relationships can be forged often online. People who have low mobility or may have disabilities, you know, something like social networking has totally changed their lives. But then there's also like the American ethos, which, you know, in America, we're like, we have all these like bootstrap pulling, frontier conquering, make it on our own ideologies. You know, that's like at the center of what we've coined American since the days of the frontier.
Does that make us reluctant to seek help for loneliness? If I acknowledge that loneliness is a problem, that means I've failed to do it all for myself?
Absolutely. I think it makes us fail to seek out help for anything. I mean, I think that's why it took people so long, or culturally, it took us so long to accept things like depression as a really serious health problem that we could seek help for without shame. I don't think that has quite happened for loneliness yet. I think we're still embarrassed to admit when we feel loneliness because it seems like you're saying, you know, something's really wrong with me.
I read a thing going on in Japan now, a trend. I don't know if it's going to be short or long term. A lot of loneliness and isolation, but then younger people steering into it. They are going out on a lonely person or solo person dates, and now restaurants are catering to tables for one, things like that. Have you encountered, as you seek out stories, people who said, hey, I'm in this situation, I'm going to embrace it and just make the best of it?
Yeah. You know, there was this viral video on YouTube called How to Be Alone, which came out over 10 years ago now. And, you know, it was just sort of this rallying cry for being single, for being independent. And I think that's really great. I think we should, you know, but going out to dinner alone and doing those things alone is different than chronic loneliness. You know, so we have situational loneliness. Maybe we move somewhere for a new job. Maybe we go through a breakup, something like that. Like, those are all really normal to be expected. You know, there are points in your life you're going to feel lonely. The problem is if you go a decade, two decades without feeling meaningful connection, suddenly loneliness becomes really dangerous because we actually lose our ability then to form new relationships. Those skills that we had before become diminished. We're more likely to be suspicious of new people. We're not quite sure how to strike up a new bond. So that's when loneliness becomes a really scary problem.
And another part of the problem, I hear often about the health benefits of social connection, of being connected to people. Does that mean on the flip side, we have health concerns if we aren't getting those connections?
Absolutely. So scientists have talked about that loneliness researchers have, that for a long time, loneliness researchers stood behind what they called the social control hypothesis, because they realized that lonely people were dying at significantly more rapid rates than people who didn't identify as lonely. And they thought, oh, you know, well, if someone doesn't spend a lot of time with someone else, you know, there's no one there to tell them not to smoke or to tell them to eat healthy or things like that. Like, they were certain, you know, if no one's around when you fall off a chair, you know, to give you help, things like that. But then over time, they realized that the difference in life expectancy was too great to account for things like, you know, smoking or sitting still for too long. And it was actually, it actually resulted just in a weakening of our immune system and a much higher susceptibility to things like cancer and heart disease.
Now, when I hear that, it's true and it's something to worry about, but I don't want people who are experiencing loneliness to feel even worse about themselves hearing that. Do you have encouraging examples from people you talked to who maybe were in that span of loneliness and worked their way out of it?
Well, I think the thing that's so encouraging about talking about loneliness is that it makes you feel less lonely because you realize everyone feels this way at a certain point. I mean, I think loneliness is something we should treat loneliness the way we treat hunger, the way we treat thirst. Like, the loneliness is calling out a need that we have, and it's saying you need to seek someone out, you need to make a change. And if we listen to it, then loneliness is doing what it was meant to do in human evolution.
We're talking to author Kristen Radke about loneliness in the United States today, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you more lonely now than you used to be, or did you go through a stage of your life where yeah, you felt more lonely. You didn't have those connections for one reason or another. What was behind that? If you found a way out of it, if you found a way to make those connections, renew them or find new ones, love to hear from you how you did it, what worked for you, maybe what didn't work along the way. And do you see things in just the way our society is set up that you think make us more prone to be and feel lonely? And for you, what's the distinction between being lonely and having solitude that you actually want? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we pick up our talk about loneliness in the United States. Author Christine Radke is with us. Her new book, Seek You, Essays on American Loneliness, is due out next year. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you experienced a spike in loneliness at some point in your life? Maybe a transition phase, the 20s, the 50s, the 80s? What questions do you have for our guest about loneliness? Did you find a way out of loneliness at some point in your life? Love to hear your story. At 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Kristen, you're still in process on this book and in collecting stories, but do you feel like you're learning lessons, maybe unexpected lessons about loneliness along the way?
You know, it's a really interesting question. I think I did not realize really what a problem it was, what a universal feeling. But I also experienced, I think, a sense of hope in collecting these stories because people were so willing to talk about them. And because, like I mentioned, you know, loneliness should help us seek out one another. And I hope it encourages people to reach out maybe more than we traditionally do.
We've got some callers reaching out now at 800-642-1234. Lori is with us in Mesa, Arizona. Lori, hi.
Hi, Rob. Great topic.
Thanks.
I'm a retired nurse, and I recall many a time patients complaining of loneliness. Mm. And I just could not, I understood that this was some kind of a deep emotional need, but I could not relate to it. I myself don't feel that I've ever experienced loneliness. I was an only child for a long time. Maybe that has something to do with it. But I enjoy my time alone. And I have girlfriends that are always complaining of loneliness. My grandmother, oh my God, she drove me nuts complaining of loneliness. She understand why I wasn't lonely.
Lori, thank you so much for the call. And Kristen, that gets back to something you said. We all might have our own individual loneliness thresholds.
Exactly. Some people, and you know, loneliness is not at all about the amount of time you spend alone. There's absolutely no correlation to how much time you spend alone. I have a friend too who says she's never been lonely, and there are just so lucky few who are really unaffected by it and who really enjoy solitude, which is wonderful.
Thanks a lot for sharing that story. We'll go now to Derek with us in Belleville. Derek, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Derek?
Well, my loneliness started about 35 years ago. I was in a band. I was with, you know, I had friends, you know, I had a great family, you know, things that, you know, loneliness was I didn't even think about ever being lonely. Well, 35 years later, I was convicted with a charge that, pretty much, changed my life, drastically. I lost my family. I lost my child. I lost my friends. I lost my coworkers. You know, just everything. And 35 years now, I'm still at that point where, you know, I cannot make any new. I can't join clubs. I can't because mm-hmm. I'm scared that they're going to find out. Hey, this guy has got a felony. Oh
right.
No. Oh, no, you know, we're not going to, you know, interact with him. So here I am with my house, and I'm just usually I do everything. I hike and all that stuff all by myself.
And Derek, I'm sorry to hear that, and good luck to you in dealing with that. Kristen, my first thought is, well, kind of a unique story, but not that unique. There are a lot of people who are, you know, ex-felons who are out of the criminal justice system now who face unique challenges in making those connections.
Absolutely. It's unfortunately a really common American story, particularly for people who've been incarcerated. The transition back into society is often a really brutal time that can go on for, you know, for decades.
Thanks for sharing that story. And it makes me think, like, do we have supports in place, not just for people coming out of ex-felons or, you know, coming out of prison, but, you know, we know when loneliness happens often, as you
right.
were saying, you move to a new place, there's a big life change. Do we have support systems built in this country for those places where we know the loneliness is a coming?
Not nearly as much as we should. There are countries that are much ahead of us here. The UK is one of them. 2 years ago, they appointed a government position called the Minister of Loneliness, which is a, you know, spectacularly weird job title. But there's lots of initiatives going on in several countries about how do we combat this, because it's a health issue. You know, the former U.S. Surgeon General has called it one of the biggest health crises in America. You know, we're reaching an epidemic level. So it's something we need to treat as just as serious as cancer or obesity or heart disease or diabetes or any of the things that we spend a lot of time and money trying to fight.
Derek, thanks again for sharing your story. We'll go to Cole now with us in Stevens Point. Hi, Cole.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering what your guest thoughts were on the connection between grief and loneliness, because I know in my own life, one of the loneliest times I ever had was when I lost my dad. So I was just wondering what the guest thoughts were on that.
Cole.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Go ahead, Kristen.
I'm sorry
yeah.
about your dad. Absolutely. I mean, when you're grieving someone you love, it's you know, it's one of the most stressful, loneliest points in a person's life. And even if someone has a really active support system in those moments, of course, we're, you know, we're really longing for a specific person. So, you know, that's a kind of loneliness that's so targeted and so specific, but it's also something that can go on for so many years. And that's why, fortunately, there are so many grief support networks in America, and that's something I really encourage people to utilize.
Well, yeah, it's a double whammy there because you're sad about the loss, of course, but then also that person filled a social role in your life. They were part of
Absolutely.
Your network that you would turn to when you were feeling lonely.
Absolutely. I think loneliness often spikes too during moments when you're doing something you wish you could share with another person. And so when we lose someone who maybe we used to do a specific activity with, or if you needed advice about something, you could call that person. Suddenly this gap is just, you know, this huge flag every time, every day that you're usually do that thing. So the changes in routine are often a really big catalyst for loneliness.
Thanks a lot for that call, Cole, and sorry for your loss. We are talking to Kristen Radke about loneliness. She's got a book coming out scheduled for next year, Seek You, Essays on American Loneliness. Back to your calls now. Michael joins us in Merrimack. Michael, hello.
Hey, good evening. My question is about trust. When you get out of a relationship and you start a new relationship, you had that period of time when you were lonely. Not you were alone, but you weren't really lonely. But now here it is, you're starting this new relationship, and you have to learn to trust all over again. How does trust fit into that?
Interesting, Michael. Thanks for the call, Kristen.
Michael, that is so true. So trust is the foundation of any bond that we form. So the eradication of trust means, you know, we're really separated from one another. Trust is the most integral part to forming relationships, period, no matter what. So, yeah, that's really, really difficult. Like I mentioned before, the longer we feel isolated, biologically, our you know, our walls are up. We're much more likely to accept a new person into our lives and to trust them because we feel, you know, we have our guards up. We're trying to protect ourselves. So I think part of that is if you can recognize that you're feeling that way and try to push through that, some of those barriers might break down a little bit more quickly. It's about identifying that and acknowledging, okay, I'm feeling this thing. Now I'm going to work to actively push against it.
Michael, thanks a lot for that call. I had wanted to ask you about another group, Kristen. You'd mentioned young women, maybe new moms feeling mm-hmm. lonely. I keep seeing stories about older guys, 50s and up, not having friendships and that being a risk time for loneliness for aging men. Is that something you've encountered?
Absolutely, absolutely. Men are more likely to be lonely than women. The main reason for that is that men statistically, they make a lot of relationships young in their when they're young in their life, and then they're like, these are my friends, these are my people. And they move forward forever without often making a lot of new friendships. So over time, you know, disagreements, people fall away, people move, people die. But women are much more likely to, you know, at every stage in their life, they're constantly sort of expanding that social circle. Women are often in heterosexual relationships, the ones who manage the social calendar, things like that. So women are much more likely to remain connected throughout their life than men are.
Let's go to one more caller, I think, before we're done. Kylie is with us in Sparta. Kylie, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Kylie?
Well, what I wanted to say is I kind of have a different view, and that is that I don't think loneliness itself is the problem. I think it's the stigma attached to loneliness. And an example would be that, like, if I, this past weekend, go to a movie by myself and then, you know, at work, I'm talking about it with my coworkers, and they're like, what? You went to the movies by yourself? Are you crazy?
Kylie, thanks for the call. Kristen, it can be a little of both, right? Loneliness can be a problem in and of itself, but that stigma Kylie sees isn't going to help.
Absolutely. You know, loneliness is something we need to destigmatize. It has nothing to do with, like, how cool and fun and exciting a person is to be around. You know, it doesn't mean that this is, you know, no one wants to come to your birthday party, right? It doesn't mean you're unpopular, uncool, or a loser, you know. But, like, I've in certain moments of my life when I felt lonely, I'm afraid to admit that because you want to feel like the kind of person who's surrounded by really exciting people all the time and who's really connected to others. But yeah, I mean, I love going to the movies by myself or dinner by myself. I think it's something we should all do.
Kylie, thanks for that call. And Kristen, we'll watch for your book out next year. Thank you so much for joining us again today.
Thank you so much. It was fun.
That's Green Bay native Kristen Radke. Her project, Seek You, Essays on American Loneliness, is due out in 2021. We talked to her today about trends in loneliness in America today. You can keep sharing your thoughts, by the way, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.